Okay, we left off the previous year. So we're discussing in light of the Gemara in the Ravas of the that concludes that ain't other pareto zmano, with the general psychological norm is that people do not pay back the chovos before the time arrives. And that results in a halacha. It results in the inability to tie the parua. The lova claims that he did pay back within the zman, so we ignore that claim. So come to be shown that a machlokas, would that similar halacha be true when we're not dealing with a kaveh zman lechaveh, there was no set time and stone. Rather, it's what we call a stam habosh loshin yom. The Ramachas of Kippur teaches us when you lend money to somebody, it's almost understood that for the first 30 days, you're not going to demand that chov. So would we say the same truth that ain't on a pareah tok shloshin yom or not? Again, after meeting for us, it goes to the beam. Would you have a Titus parati within shloshin yom? So one could have understood this machlokes Rishonim in a very psychological way. Rishonim just simply arguing, simply, what's the human psyche? It's not quite the same as a Kaveh Zman. Kaveh Zman catches up that image of a set of time, it's not payable for another 3 years. I'm not even thinking about the chol. I'm not even having the initial having to pay back the chol within 3 years. Whereas 30 days, it's just kind of such a small amount of time. And it wasn't even really set in stone. It wasn't really a contract. It's almost like a superimposed reality. It's kind of, you know, maybe one could argue that psychological statement of eight of the parent doesn't apply. So one could have understood the Gemara really in a simple way. So come to along with the Dva'av Ram, and it's a whole lumdish twist on the sugya, and connects this question to a question relating to Shmita's Ksofer. We just barely really scratched the surface on Friday. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Makos that if you set up a time for a chov, the chov is not payable until after the Shmita time. The Shemitah time, the magic moment of Shemitah is the very end of the Shemitah year. As the sun sets, it's coming Rosh Hashanah. That's what this matter of Shemitah is going to be. So let's say if I lend you $1,000 now, payable in 3 years from now. So we bask in the Shemitah does not impact on such a chov because the chov is only canceled and the chov has arrived. The Torah says, you're not allowed to be nobi, you're not allowed to ask for the chov. Clearly, the Torah is describing a chov that is payable, is theoretically askable for now. If the chov has been put on hold, it's not payable for another 20 years from now. So, b'chi agav, in those circumstances, Shemitah doesn't apply. So, the Rishonim and later Acharonim and the whole machlokes, what would it be about a stam of Rosh Hashanah? If I lent you $100 a week before Rosh Hashanah, the end of the Shemitah year, would Shemitah cancel that chov? So, one could argue, nope, just as Kabez Mam the Chadeiro. Shmita doesn't cancel, so maybe Shmita doesn't cancel if it's still called within the Zman. Shloshim Yom is like within the Zman. Well, maybe somehow there's a difference between the two. But Shloshim Yom is not quite the same as a Kaveh Zman. So once we answer the question by Shmita, we'll be able to carry it back and extrapolate back to our Sugya. So what is the din? In fact, by Shmita, what's the law? Do we have any riyas? So there aren't so many Sugyas about Shmita's Ksofer. There's a parak of Mishnayis, Masechet Shviyas, a 2-3 blot of Masechet Gittin. So we're in half an omen of Masechet Machos. We have to try to find somewhere tucked away in all these sugyas some kind of a riot. What is it then? Well, how am I? This is going to be a real shiloh. Person lends money a week before Shemitah this coming year. Do you have to write a principle? Does Shemitah cancel such a chovana? So there is a very, very strange Mishnah. It's on the 11th of the Bar Kavos. So the 11th of the Bar Kavos. Hashokhin is Apara. The Chilka b'Rosh Hashanah. If today is Rosh Hashanah, or so we think that today is Rosh Hashanah, what led us to believe today is Rosh Hashanah? Before they had calendars, so it was just an educated guess that today is Rosh Hashanah. Namely, Rosh Chodesh Elul was 29 days earlier, so there's a really, really good chance that today, which is the 30th day of Elul, is actually going to become the first day of Tishrei. But I don't know that until I get messages. The messages come and inform me that they saw the new moon and the days of the Kaddish, the new moon, and that the Shluchim went out and told us that there was a... So every Rosh Hashanah is a little bit tricky. We never really know whether today's actually going to be Rosh Hashanah or not. Now, the odds are it is going to be Rosh Hashanah, because the Gemara tells us that the overwhelming majority of the cases is that the new moon is seen on the 30th day, and therefore that 30th day does become transformed to become the first day of Tishrei, but not always. Well, it can happen once in a while, you can have a little bit of a mix-up, and then basically you just have to keep the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The second day of Rosh Hashanah now becomes the real day of Rosh Hashanah, becomes actually Aleph Tishrei. So here a person who just finished davening, imagine saga playing out. They just finished davening. It's 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they come home for lunch, only to find out an hour from now. The whole thing was just it was good prep for tomorrow. So it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Everyone's hungry. The guy's about to shecht a para. He realizes that he shecht a cow. How big is the family? So he starts scratching out, looking for some partners. We also want to chip in on for the cows. So he goes around after davening, asking everybody, "Would you like to have a little share of my para?" So that's really a complicated young division. How do you do that? How do I get you to pay for the par without you actually paying for the par? So that's very sugars of a second beitza. But the bottom line is, I shecht the par on behalf of another 20 people, and they're not going to pay me for this year of the par. It's yomtiv, or supposedly it's yomtiv, so they're going to owe me the money. So they make some kind of an agreement, some kind of a working act of a deal. It's not going to violate Uchaz yomtiv, but basically it's the result in I'm giving you meat, and you're going to owe me money. So now the wheels are starting to turn. You're owing me money. Wait a second. So what? Today's Rosh Hashanah, right? And even though this is the end of the Shemitah year, I got another 7 years to worry about this chov. Not so simple. Comes Mishnah and says, "V'chilku b'Rosh Hashanah haya chodesh me'ubar." All of a sudden, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, an hour before Shkia, we get the message. And guess what? Beis Din gave up today. No Edom is showing up. And tomorrow is going to be Rosh Hashanah. What are the ramifications of what just happened? So I hope the Chazanim got a good practice, because that's all it was today. The whole davening was sort of a tola. We did what we were supposed to do. We took our chance and we followed what the halacha said. But the mice, it turns out today wasn't really Rosh Hashanah. Okay, good. So we'll go shav tomorrow. We'll daven tomorrow. We'll say tashav tomorrow. Everything's good. He said, one small issue just is about to come up in Dina Mamadis. I sold these fellows portions of my para, and they owe me money. And guess what? Today was not really Rosh Hashanah, which means today was the last day of Elul, which means that Shemitah is about to happen an hour from now. And Shemitah is about to cancel that loan that was just incurred 2 hours earlier. That's exactly what the Mishnah says. V'haya chodesh me'uban. If it turns out that the month was me'uban, maybe the month had an extra day, it had 30 days to it. So then Mishamit, the Shemitah cancels that loan. The imlaved Mishamit. If it turns out that it was not a chodesh me'uban, it turns out that it was really 29 days. Then obviously Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan, because the loan's got another 7 years to go. So this one line in the Mishnah is pretty cool for us, because the Mishnah just told us that a chov that was just incurred an hour ago is subject to the sugya, subject to the parashah Shemitah's Ksofim. So comes the Bach in Chesh Mishnah, and the Siman of Shemitah's Ksofim, and says, this Mishnah is a raya brut our shayla. We want to know, is the Shemitah cancel chovos that are within 30 days? We have to stop our vashlos. Yup. So the answer is absolutely yes, says the Bach. Fresh Mishnah. You don't need to bring a raya from the Tesis, from a rabbi, from where? It's a Mishnah. Says the Bach, the Mishnah is the Feirish, that a chov, even though it's barely an hour old, is subject to the sugyas of Shemitah's Ksav. So clearly, says the Bach, there is a difference between a Kaveh's man l'chaveiro, in contrast to a stam avo. Kaveh's man l'chaveiro is not subject to Shemitah. Stam avo shloshim yom is subject to Shemitah. Can one refute this raya of the Bach? So the answer is yes. There's actually a Chiddush Yehran on the 14th of the Marmakamos, where the Chiddush Yehran, towards the end of the 14th of the Marmakamos, the Hashaila, it's three lines at the bottom. The Hashaila Eim Lazman, the Kol Eim is the boy, Matzi Tava. The Yesh Lazman, Am I Mishamei? The Halo Karina Melo Yigos. Comes up with Yeran, it's part of a whole Stil Torah Viv. We just got to extract the part that we need. It says with the Yeran, this kind of a lending of money, quote unquote, happens not to be subject to the Sugya of Stam Havosh Lashimiyam. Stam Havosh Lashimiyam means, I come and I ask you, listen, I need $10,000, I invest in something. Can I please borrow $10,000? We don't set up a time to be paid. So the halacha says, stam avosh lashmiyam. But if I incurred a debt from you, not derech halva, I incurred a debt from you because I gave you a piece of meat and now you owe me money for the meat, I can't charge you. You go to the store and you buy something, I can't send you a bill for the first 30 days. It's not true. That Stam Avashal Shalom doesn't apply to these kinds of quote-unquote loans, these quote-unquote chalvos. So comes the Chumash around and says, you want to know why Shemitah applies to this case? Is because it's not Shayach to the Sugya of Stam Avashal Shalom. If it would have been subject to the rules of Stam Avashal Shalom, then Shemitah would not have canceled such a debt. The same way that Shemitah does not cancel a Kaveh Azman of the Kaveh. So when all of those settles, we don't have a raya from the Mishnah. We actually have machlokes, what the potential raya or is not a raya from this Mishnah. But conceptually, what should this depend upon? Why should Allah be one way or the other? So putting aside the raya from the Paras and Rosh Hashanah, if I would ask you, what do you think the din should be? I lend you money, there's no Kaveh Azman, should Shemitah cancel it out? Why should this be different than Kaveh Azman? So the Avram begins to superimpose very, very long dishy categories now to try to explain the difference between a Kaveh Azman L'Chaveiro in contrast to a Stam Avashal Shalom. Says the Avram, when I'm Kaveh Azman with you, we set a time written into the contract, or either it's not literally the contract, we agreed upon it, that this chob is not payable for another 3 years. Yesh lachor, yesh ladun. What's the nature of that statement that this chob is not payable for 3 years? You can understand this in one of two ways. Either you can understand conceptually at Lomdus that by saying this chob is not payable in 3 years, what we're saying is as follows. Of course the chob is there. Of course you owe me the money. You borrowed $1,000, but of course you owe me the money. Elohat, the chob is present, but it's not collectible yet. The schus gevia, the schus piron, the ability for me to knock at your door and ask you for the chob, the ability for me to go to Beis Din, if you don't pay back the debt, the ability for me to practice and collect has been put on hold. Has the chov itself been put on hold? Is that relationship of obligation between the two of us non-existent? Well, of course it's existent. Why isn't it there? You buy $1,000, of course you owe me the money immediately. You owe me the money immediately to be payable in Zman X, Y, and Z. Or maybe not, maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe the pshat in a Kaveh Zman L'Chaveiro means that the Etzem HaChov is put on hold. You do not owe me the money. There is no relationship of Ma'avah HaWakti yet. You do not owe me the money. There is no chov yet. There's no sheep. There's nothing yet. I don't mean the word sheep literally. There's no chov whatsoever until this man comes. So it's like Lamosho. I can create a chalos the Achaz man. I can give a ring to a woman and say, I wrote Kadesh Lila Achaz Shloshim Yad. So we're not married yet. There's nothing here. So you can create a chov, the Achaz man. So when we are convey as man, when we set in stone this time, I'm not going to come after you for 30 days. I'm 3 years. Kaveh Azman L'Chaveiro. Is that considered to be that there's no chol? Or is that considered to be, of course, there's a chol, it's just the chol is not collected? So comes into Avram and says, the answer to that question can be found in Hilchos Shemitah. Comes into Avram and says, why is it that Shemitah doesn't cancel a chol in Kaveh Azman L'Chaveiro? Why do we possibly have a chol? I set a chol for you, not be payable for another 10 years. Shemitah comes, does the wedding. Shemitah is not effective against the chov that this man has not yet come. So the Rambam is very simple. Shemitah cancels a chov. It doesn't cancel something that doesn't exist. Shemitah can't cancel something that's in thin air. It's not here yet. How in the world can Shemitah cancel it? So the whole yisod adavar of Kaveh Azman L'Chaveiro, why Shemitah doesn't have any impact, is because the chov within 10 years just doesn't register yet. However, says it, Avram, that's what it was, Kaveh Azman L'Chaveiro. But if it was simply a halach of Stam Havash Shloshim Yom, why is it that Stam Havash Shloshim Yom, where did that come from? So if you remember, we spoke about this last week, it's a Gemara, Maseches Matas, it's a Zer Sakosav, Apostle, it's Russia, from Shemitah, the whole Rang and Megillah, where this comes from, Stam Havash Shloshim Yom. What does that mean, says it, Avram? Stam Havash Shloshim Yom does not mean Kaveh Azman. It's not like we made a condition not to collect for 30 days. No. By Stam Avash Shloshim Yom, the chov is in full force. It's 1,000% valid chov. The chov is there. Eloah, there's a quirk. You don't have a right to collect it. Your hands are tied. Who tied your hands? The Pasuk Chumash. Who tied your hands? The Gemara Machas of Gilam Rebeis. Is the chov there? Of course the chov is there. Since the chov is there, Memela, the chov, can be impacted by Shemitah. Because Shemitah cancels chovas that exist.
By a kaves man lechaveiro, when the chov isn't there, shmita can't touch it. By a stam of ashras miyom, when the chov is there, which is lacking in the schuz gviya, shmita can in fact impact on such a chov. Says the Rambam, that's the lomdus of Tosfos in Asugya. That's the lomdus as to of the Bach. That's the lomdus of dinuch shmita. Because stam of ashras miyom, the chov is there. But now comes the Avram and takes it to the next level. Comes the Avram and says, we had a machlekes rishon in Asugya. Do we say that people paid back chovos within 30 days? So by kavez mal lechaveiro, we're very comfortable invoking Rish Lakish's logic, his psychology slash halacha. Om Rish Lakish ain't adam pareh chazok and pareh tosmano. But says Tosus tosmano, but toshloshin yom stavim voshloshin yom, people pay back. So we asked, why is that difference? Why is there such a distinction? So come to the Rambam and says the distinction is very lomdish distinction. People don't pay that chovos that don't exist. The people do pay that chovos that exist. It's just the zman gevia hasn't arrived yet. So when it comes to kaveis man lechaveiro, which is a statement of a lack of chov, the chov doesn't register, doesn't exist. B'chlas the doshim aliyolim right now. So Rish Lakish is right. He doesn't pareah teres bano. But stam avoshlash in yom, where the chov exists, proof positive the chov exists. The Mishnah in Shemitah, not the Shech to the cow in Rosh Hashanah, according to the Bach. It's just as the Chol exists in Hilchos Shemitah, it exists in Hilchos psychology, and therefore people do pay back, they do pay back such things. This is the Yisod and Dvar and the Dvar. So I was always troubled with this Dvar, and I think that maybe the reason why I've always been troubled with Dvar, I'm just not not a lamdan like the Dvar. That's an understatement. You'll see what I mean in a moment. Avram looked at the world through such lumpish categories that even superimposed the human psyche, human beings pay back things depending on what the halakhic category is. You ask your average guy in the street, Tachlis, why are you not paying back the chov? I'm not paying back the chov because no one's asking me to do it. My nafkamina, whether because in lumpish there's no chov there and therefore it's not kept of a shvita, or because the mice is in the hands of time. Can you imagine a guy sitting around now, it's the end of December, trying to figure out, should I pay April 15 taxes yet or not? So what's the pshat? What's pshat of April 15th? I need an accountant here. Is the longest that I don't owe the IRS until April 15th? It's not a chov, or it's a chov, but it's not collect for you. I couldn't care less. At the end of the day, if they're not coming after me to collect the money, so why in the world would I jump the gun and give the money in advance? So the Avram is using such a longest to explain why, when and why people pay chovos back. People pay chovos back, oh, but the chov is there. If the halacha dictates, if the lomdus dictates the chov is there, then people run to go pay back the chovos. I don't know, I'm not such a London. I usually think in much more practical terms that if I don't quote unquote owe the money, might have to mean what the word owe means. If no one's coming after me for the money, I'm like, make a day session pay. But the chov part is a famous verse from the Bavram. Bavram was the one who connected the dots, that he took the little toises in Bava Vasra. It says there's a difference between a stam of ashlash and yom and a kaveh zman. And he put it into the world of lomdus. One is a chol, one is no chol. And he connected this to the shaila about shmitas ksav. I remember when I was in learning in Kev Yavne, so we learned one of my first year Kev Yavne, we were learning in Basra. And then I came back to YU after 1 year in Kev Yavne, then I went back 2 years later. I had a different kufa, typical gul in Kev Yavne. So at one time when I came back from yeshiva, so I was coming back to YU for the upcoming Zman. And the rule was, if anybody came back from Rekha, so you had to get a Bechina. You had to get a Bechina. So at the time, some may remember Peretsky, he was a Bechina. Very, very fascinating individual. So he was a Bechina. So I remember when they told me in the office I have to go get a Bechina, I said, I understand. I was here a year before. I had been in Rebbe Shech Tashir the year before with the Kev Yavne. And I went to Kev Yavne and I said, I just want to come back to Rosh Hashanah. So they said, oh, you have to get a Bechina. I said, but I didn't get worse. They tell me I want to go up to the Rav Shia and Siva. I'm in the same place. But no, I went to get a Bechina Rav Peretsky. And Peretsky was a very, very colorful personality. I went to Radin, Chavetz Chaim, Tully, very close to Mendel Sachs. So I sat down with him and asked me, so what did you learn this year? I said, we learned the first Pekka of Basra. He said, okay, tell me Shtimel Torah. So I started telling him over this Dvavram. So he was so excited. He loved it. He let me come back to the Shia the year before. He loved the Shtimel Torah. What's my Shtimel Torah? I just told him over the Dvavram. He just was so enamored with the Shtimel Torah. So it always has a soft spot in my heart. This Dvavram. But there's something fundamental, really, that we have to understand before we can take this Rav and run with it and plug it into the Taisa of Asra. What's basically emanating from this sugya, Beimuthi Taisus, Beimuthi and Avram, Beimuthi Abach, that there really is a very, very big difference between Stam Halva, Shloshim Yom, and Kaveh Zman Chaveh. And the difference is expressing itself in one is a Chov and not a Chov. But Stam Halva, Shloshim Yom is not a Kaveh Zman. It has nothing to do with Kaveh. It's a different sugya legamre. So we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, is that really true? Is that a little bit almost of an overkill? That Stam Halva, Shloshim Yom is so radically different than Kaveh Zman. So let's take a look back at the very source of Stam Halva, Shloshim Yom. Usually the source for something can indicate a little bit about the nature of the halacha. So let's take a look at the beginning of the eighth of the Mamre Kamos. We first bumped into the stand of Stam Halva, Shloshim Yom. So Tana, it's a brayta Maseches Machlis. Hamavas Chaveh Stam, if I lend you money Stam without specifying a date, Eino Rasha the Tevet Pachas Yilam Yigayim. I cannot ask for the Chov, I cannot demand the Chov 30 days. Sopa Rav Rechana Kamei the Rav Meimah. Rav Rechana thought, it was a Talmud of Rav, he was sitting in front of Rav, and he thought the following, Hani Mili B'milva B'shtar. He had a Havamina, he was going to reject it, but it's important to understand the Havamina. When is this true, that Stam Halva Shloshim Yom, that's by a Milva B'shtar, but there's a document. Why is that? The law of it in Ish, the Tarach, the Kosa Shtar, brought to the Kosa Yomim. Because it's not normal to waste time to write up documents, especially in the olden days, writing up a document. It wasn't like now, you just print something out on your computer, you gotta go find the cipher, you gotta pay the cipher. It took a whole day to get the document written. So for me to bother schlepping to write up a document, to borrow money for 10 minutes, it's not worth it. So obviously, if the lover is going out of his way, the mom, everyone's going out of their way to make sure this document is authorized, signed, and everything's properly done. Obviously, this loan is supposed to last for a little while. Clearly not supposed to be just for 10 minutes. Of a mobile pen. But what if I just, I'm running to the store and I can't find a dollar. Give me a fake one. I'll make up a couple of quotes. Can I borrow a dollar from you? So the guy hands me a dollar. No, I can't be taver. Stop my bush rushing, you know? So Rabbi Chana said, nah, that's ridiculous. Mobile pen. He said, no, you can collect the money right away. So what did Rabbi Chaya just tell us? What is the root, what is the rationale behind the halacha of Stam Halva Shloshim Yom? It's a mitzius. It's almost like an undana. It's like a dvarim shebelim. It's understood that the norm of business practice is if you're schlepping and bothering and wasting time and money to write a document, you probably want this loan to last for some degree of time. But wait a second. If that's the svara for Stam Halva Shloshim Yom, why isn't that a Kaveh Zman Mechaveh? It means basically what Stam Halva Shloshim Yom is saying is that it's understood, it's Ki'ilu, you said 30 days. And proof positive, Rabbi Bechan is differentiating between Milva B'Shtar and Milva Ba'al-Peh. And when Milva Ba'al-Peh, which doesn't have that self-evident statement, quote-unquote, of 30 days, so the halacha taka is that you are allowed to collect within 30 days. So according to Rabbi Bechan's formulation of the din of Stam Halva Shloshim Yom, that it only applies to a Milva B'Shtar, it seems to be very, very close to a Kaveh Zman Chaveh. It seems a little bit too close for comfort to a Kaveh Zman Chaveh, which would undermine our entire Shia, which would undermine all the distinctions that we're making within the Sof from other areas of Halacha. Rabbi Bechana seemed to understand that basically a Stam Halva Shloshim Yom is just a glorified Kaveh Zman. It's a Kaveh Zman without anybody actually saying it. It's a self-evident, self-understood Kaveh Zman. That's all within Rabbi Machanas Havamina, that the halacha is limited only to Milva B'Shtar. But that Havamina is not correct. Amalei Rav. So Rav responded back to his Talmud. Hachia Mechavivi. Chavivi means his uncle. It means his uncle is Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia taught us, Echad Milva B'Shtar, Echad Milva Ba'al-Peh. But guess what? You're not right. There is no difference between a Milva B'Shtar and a Milva Ba'al-Peh. So now, wait a second. If Rabbi Machanas Havamina was rejected, and now the halacha equates a Milva B'Shtar and Milva Ba'al-Peh, now we have to ask the multi-million-dollar question. Namely, when we reject the Rabbi Machana's distinction between our peh and shtar, why do we reject that? Do we reject that because we reject his whole underlying premise? You, Rabbi Machana, were viewing Stam Halva Shloshim Yom from a very, very unique way. You thought it was like a Kaveh Zman, and therefore you differentiated between shtar and Milva Ba'al-Peh. But you're not right. that Stav Avos Shalom has nothing to do with that. Stav Avos Shalom is a different story altogether. What it is, we don't know yet, but we know what it's not. It's not a kaveh, it's not. Your Havamina is not right. The Avram is right. The Tais is right. The Bach is right. The Stav Avos is not a kaveh, it's not. And therefore, there is no distinction between the Shtar and the Alper. Is that what Rav meant to reject? Or maybe Rav stuck to Rav Ochanan's Lumbus said, no, his Lumbus is right. It's all based on a K'ilu, we specified 30 days, but whereas Rav Ochanan thought that K'ilu specified only makes sense by Shtar, we modify that and say, no, it makes sense by Alper also. People don't lend money just for 10 minutes. It's always understood 30 days. So it's not clear why Rav Ochanan was rejected. And that's going to become critical for the purpose of our sugya. So what is the mokor now for Stam Avos Shlosh Miyom? If Rav Ochanan's whole theory is rejected and it's not considered to be some self-evident agreement, so what's it based on? So if you skip down a little bit, the Gemara has an entirely different story. It's the end of the 8th Rambam, it's four lines on the bottom. It's the end of the line, the chsiv. You want to know what the source for Stam Avos Shlosh Miyom is? All of a sudden, Shemitah's Ksachim is coming back to life. The Torah already calls it the seventh year. Why does the Torah repeat itself and say, it's the same thing. That there's a new halacha called Shnasa Shmita that has nothing to do with the seventh year of the Shmita cycle. There's a new halacha called I lend your money in the middle of the fourth year. There's a mini Shmita. You know what the mini Shmita is? Shlash Yom B'Shana Karim Shana. For 1 year, one month, 30 days, I'm not allowed to collect it. It's like a make-believe Shmita. It's not a Shmita that cancels the loan forever. It's an on hold. It's a temporary hold on the loan of 30 days. So what appears in this Gemara is that the Gemara has made an entire, literally an about face from what Stam Avos was what meant. We thought, Rav Ochanan mistakenly thought that Stam Avos Shlosh Yom is just simply a kaveh as man lechaveiro, kamash malon, that it's not. At the end of the day, that is not what it is. What it is a gzeres hakosav, it's a dinzush mitzvah ksofav, it's a pasul chumash. Don't ask many questions. It is not Kaveh's Man Lechavero. Once we conclude, in fact, it is not a Kaveh's Man Lechavero, so then we understand quite well why it parts ways from Kaveh's Man, and therefore we understand why Shmita impacts on it. And we understand why people do pay back within Shlosh Yom. The whole of Avram came back to life. So Baruch Hashem, we got frightened for a moment by Rav Bachana. But maybe the Avram, maybe they can hold me back. They won't let me come back to Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah thought it was wrong. So 30 plus years later, come on, we've been proven to be correct. The Avram Shulatar is right, and the Bach is right, and the right one is right because because the Stav of Shlosh Yom is not Kaveh as Malachim. What is it? Don't ask me that. It exists because of a mini Shmita, whatever you want to call it. But Kaveh as Man Lechaveiro, that it's not. So Baruch Hashem, the Shabbat Torah still stands with us. Hopefully, it's Hashem. So tomorrow, we want to take a little bit of our sugya and I'll move it into the next sugya. So we have the next Makaros. So take this whole sugya of when people do pay back chobos, no back chobos, and plug it into other areas where the Gemara and the Tosafot begin to discuss. Take this one step further in the next sugya. Fridays will depend again on Frisch. Do we know Frisch's schedule? It's way too early to know Frisch's schedule, right? Go off. Now we do know the schedule. Okay. So we can be ready for that. So you can have a Friday show after. Okay, as long as I'm off on Frisch, we can have a Friday at 7. Okay. But the truth is, was there any reason to have it at 7 because the next meeting is 8?
Yeah, so better keep it at the same time.
No. The next meeting is 8, so why don't we have it at 7?
No, because people could have a 6:20 and then a 7.
There is 6:20.
Yeah, 6:20 and 7. 6:25 is a.
There is 6:25.
Yeah.
Keep it at 7.